Welcome back to In the Moment. Kevin Wooster is a journalist and a blogger. You can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. He joins us every Thursday to talk about the latest from not just the blogosphere, but from the streets of South Dakota and from his own mind. Kevin, welcome back to In the Moment.
I'm a little concerned about my own part of it. I don't know if that's something that. Do you want to get approval on that before we get into my mind?
It's the mind of a writer as well as and a great thinker on South Dakota politics and beyond. There we go. I'll get you a better introduction next time.
I like that introduction. It just intimidates me a little bit.
All right, let's start with. Let's start with Lent and confession, shall we? There's several blog posts up, and if you haven't become thoroughly addicted to, on the other hand, Kevin Wooster's blog yet, I recommend binging on it for a while. Some people binge on Netflix. I binge on your blog. So let's talk about confession and Lent in this context of judging others and politics. Where do you want to begin?
Well, how can you not begin with Pope Francis? And you know, you don't have to be a Catholic to celebrate the four-year election of that particular pope, because of, in my mind, what he's done for the dialogue in this world and the outreach to people who live on the margins and who need help and need our love and who need us to reach out. And it was an interesting juxtaposition of things when I was getting this message at Mass in a Jesuit parish in North Rapid that's designed primarily to serve Native Americans, but serves anyone who would like to show up and listen and think and feel. And at the time, I thought that was interesting that Steve King, the congressman from the 4th District in Iowa, had made the comment that caused a bit of a fuss about the immigrant children, he called somebody else's children, they aren't our future. And boy, that's a jumping off point, isn't it, to consider about whose future are we talking about and how do you define where we want to go with our future? And even conservatives were saying this is America and America is all about futures that are based on quote-unquote other people's children. From other places. And so I thought it was an interesting way to think. And, when I get to thinking, I can't help myself but write about it.
So thank goodness for the rest of us.
As I tell people, that's the only thing I know how to do at all. So I don't have much option. But it's not like I can go build a cabinet or go create an art piece.
Well, according to your blog, you know how to drive. Better than other.
My dad would let me drive. That's one thing he would let me do on the farm, as long as I didn't operate any sort of a churning machine at the same time. It was pretty much, a straight driving job, but I could do that.
I'm curious, as a non-Catholic, does Pope Francis stay around forever into old age? How does that work? How long do we have his voice sort of speaking on behalf of the Catholic Church worldwide?
Gosh, we hope for a long time. And, Pope Benedict created an interesting new possibility where he actually left, instead of dying, which has been the practice, of course, that a pope would die and go off to his great pope's reward, we would select a new pope. And Pope Benedict, I thought, in a very wise and thoughtful, measured move, stepped down. He was getting to the point where he didn't feel like he could do what he thought he should be doing. And that's how we got Pope Francis, which was a great development, I think, for the church. And I guess the question is, does the next pope selected operate the way Francis operates? So we hope we'll have Francis for a long time, and I'm one Catholic that hopes that there will be a, this kind of shift in tone a little bit and focus on some things that I think Francis has brought us in a timely way.
So on the blog post, on the other hand, where you're digging into these issues of judgment and faith, it kind of gets to that bigger topic, too, of how do we handle rhetoric and comments, especially in the world of social media now? Where's that line between being judgmental and holding public officials accountable, holding ourselves accountable? You kind of dug into that a lot, and there are no easy answers to that, are there?
Boy, there are no easy answers. And, I'm often a accused of making judgments myself, and rightly so, because I do that. It's one of the things I touched on in there is in my blog. I hardly made it out of that wonderful last experience with that great homily before I was yelling both out loud, not really yelling, but grumbling, and in my mind about drivers that I didn't like. So I started making judgments about three blocks away from the church that day, and which is often how I operate.
Do you just have to turn around again and go right back? That's not how it works. You don't have to confess as soon as you commit the sin. They're cumulative, is that right?
Try again. And the thing is, I hope that I realize when I'm doing that, and I hope that I don't take that kind of an attitude into too much into dialogue about matters of importance in the political world and others.
Right.
And, you know, my concern has been for a long time since I started working on blogs and in 2004 with the Rapid City Journal, it is the way people talk to each other. And I have to blame some of that on AM radio and talk shows, not just conservatives, but others as well. You know, some of the liberal screamers that we've had on AM, certainly conservatives dominate, but that it now seems to be on in a lot of people's mind okay to be as rude and as mean-spirited as you want to be. And that carries over into a dialogue that I think goes to the very top of leadership in this country at this point. And it's a real concern. And Pope Francis sends an absolutely different message that you can have dialogue without hate. You can't have dialogue without meanness. You should have it. And try not to judge people as you judge their statements or their comments or their policies and positions.
I want to talk about another post that you did on March 10th, and this is about pipeline protesters and the law. After the pipeline protests in North Dakota, what happens next in South Dakota? Getting to this key question of, you know, what happens next in this state, and who was damaged the most by some of the stories that came out of North Dakota at that time? No easy answers there either. You're fearless when it comes to sort of tackling topics that you aren't going to get to the resolution in, you know, 700 to 1700 words.
Yeah. Did you say fearless or reckless? I missed
fearless.
Okay. That's a tough question, you know, because as I think I said in the blog, that what we had in North Dakota, we're certainly going to have in some form, in some style, in some impact in South Dakota with Keystone XL. And I've probably got in trouble with some of my friends on the reservations because I think a lot of the effort, a lot of the goodwill, the public goodwill was wasted in North Dakota. Because I really have to say, I believe that the Keystone XL is the bigger issue. I understand the concerns about Dakota Access Pipeline, but I think that pipeline is going to go through. I think the big fight is over Keystone XL. It's Canadian tar sands, and it's a terrible way of extracting energy. It's a dangerous way to transport it. It's foreign produced. God bless Canada, our friends, but it is. And I think more of it stands to go somewhere else. So I don't think it has a great impact on jobs or the energy picture in this country. Could have a negative picture impact on the environment, more so, I think, than Dakota Access. And I feel like there was an effort there that was good-hearted at the start, and many prayerful, peaceful people, took their goodwill and their concerns there. And now I fear that there's been some damage on the public image of that whole protest, and as I said, goodwill. And I just wonder how it'll affect Keystone XL. And I also hope that law enforcement and protesters have learned something from Dakota Access that will be helpful in when the inevitable protests on Keystone XL go.
And that's something that we're looking into having that conversation on this show. And as we often do, it's an ongoing conversation with a variety of voices to sort of get at the heart of that. Kevin Wooster, what's up next? You're looking at Mr. Mike Huther in Sioux Falls there. We got about a minute left.
I am indeed looking at Mike Huther and Mayor Sioux Falls, second term, and we've had a conversation. And I've kind of missed out on getting to know him, so that's part of what I'm doing here. Trying to get to know him, and he's often mentioned as a possibility as statewide office. Used to be mentioned as a Democrat until in December he went independent. And that's kind of what I touch on in this next blog, which will be up probably later today, unless I get fishing too long down at Angostura, and then it might be tomorrow.
Well, we should tell people there's a pretty good fishing story on that blog post, too, which ends in a slight disaster that I think we can all relate to.
Yeah, I'm still sore from that.
Kevin Wooster, the blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, too, Lori. Thank you.